we pray. For us. For us, our Lord came, died, suffered, that we might be free. Today we remember as he instituted that wonderful sacrament of his body and blood under bread and wine given for us. And yet on this night, he was betrayed. Would lead to that suffering so that we may have life in his name. Amen. It took 3 years. 3 years to paint. It is one of the most recognized paintings in the world. It's 15 by 29 feet. And it became an instant masterpiece. Yes, Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Lord's Supper. At the age of 43, Leonardo was asked by the Duke of Milan to paint this dramatic scene. And so he worked from 1495 to 1498, although it wasn't always a constant work on it. Most of us have looked at it many different times. But I wonder if you really have caught the details of that painting. Maybe some of you have seen it where it is kept. But there are a lot of those details that when we look at that painting, we don't even realize that are there. Have you noticed that in his painting, the disciples are in groups of three, six on one side, six on the other side. And I wonder if you have noticed that as you look at that painting, there is a significant piece missing, the chalice. When he had finished his painting, he asked a friend to look at it, to give him his honest opinion. And his friend said, "It is so wonderful. I can't keep my eyes off of the chalice there. Christ, the chalice, is so real." Immediately, Da Vinci took his brush and removed the chalice, painted over it, exclaiming, "Nothing shall distract from Jesus in this painting." Think about it. Nothing should distract our lives from Jesus. This is the one who was betrayed. Let that sink in for a moment. How do the words of institution begin? On the night when he was betrayed. We hear these words, but how often do they sink in? On this night, Christ was betrayed. And so as we talk about betrayal, as we think about this day, I don't know if you noticed the readings this morning, but they really go together so beautifully. There's the Old Testament reading where there we read about that first Passover meal. And where are the disciples in the upper room but eating the Passover meal? And what we have in our epistle reading is that writing from Paul who wasn't even there. Think about that. Let that sink in for a moment. Who lays out for us that Maundy Thursday event. And then there they are in the upper room. In the 13th chapter, we read in verse 21, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." I don't know about you, I'm glad I wasn't in the room at the time. Betrayal, by one of those who had been closest to him for 3 years almost. But let's think about it. Betrayal often happens by someone who is close to us. That's the way it usually works. One of the 12, we know it's Judas. And what does Judas do for 30 pieces of silver? He is willing to betray his master, his Lord. He in the garden would betray him with a kiss. Betrayed. Think about it. That's the focus of the painting. Nothing should distract us from Jesus, who is the one who is betrayed. This is a holy night for Christians. In Matthew, we learn in chapter 26, verse 25, that Judas was sitting close to Jesus. Close enough for the two of them to carry on a private conversation. Wouldn't it be nice to know what that conversation was all about? Jesus may have singled out Judas as an important guest and seated him close to him because he knew that he was the one who betrayed him. In our text in John, he gives us an important detail. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Think about that. Satan, used in John's account. There he is at the table with them. It's a serious situation. Back in John chapter 6 and verse 70, John also wrote, "Did I not choose you the 12? And yet one of you is a devil." John had already identified that misguided disciple. Judas is the one. Oh, and about the painting, there are a number of important details that we miss oftentimes when we look at that painting. Most of us don't even realize that there's a spilled salt shaker next to the elbow of Judas. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 13, when he says that his followers should be the salt of the earth? Is Da Vinci depicting that Judas has lost his saltiness because of his greed? How about us? What is it that can cause us to lose our saltiness? Is it our quest for more? It's interesting because in Da Vinci's painting, he has the disciples eating herring. In the northern dialect Italian there, the word for herring is renga. In that dialect, the word renga means something different. Peter would later, it means one who was chosen, who has defied him. Here is Judas, the renga. Here is Peter, who would later deny his Lord, the renga. The other disciples ran and hid, the renga. You see, there's a little renga in every one of us. Judas, once he received the morsel, goes out from the table, we are told, from the group. He goes out, and how does that text end? Into the darkness. Darkness. The place where vengeance will happen. So why all of this? This painting reminds all of us of who we are. It reminds us of that night when Jesus said to his disciples, do this often in remembrance of me. In that sacrament, God comes to us. We are not God's enemy. God has loved us from the very beginning. We are a part of His creation. And if we stop to think about it, God's love is extremely and intensely personal. Martin Luther wrote this. This is something more than the sermon. For although the same thing is present in the sermon as in the sacrament, here there is the advantage that it is directed at definite individuals. It needs to become personal. It is this God who never gives up on us. It is this Godhead who will never give up. A God who reaches out to us in love. Later that night, Jesus would be spat upon. He would not give up. He would be beaten. He would not give up. Soon there would be nails that would crush and pierce His skin and bones. He never gives up. Because you see, that is who our God is. He never gives up on us. Since its completion in 1498, the painting of the Last Supper has also been falling apart. Instead of the wet plaster that Da Vinci probably should have used, he tried something new, dry plaster. And while the dry plaster worked very well in detailing artistically this painting, it was not the kind of plaster you would want to use for sustainability. Since that painting, it's been falling apart. Experts have done their best to keep it and restore it as best they can throughout time. Think about the significance of that. I think it's kind of fitting. A painting falling apart for a people who are constantly falling apart. As often as we try, as hard as we try, it's difficult for us to get it right. That's why on this night it's important for us to realize what God has done for us. This precious gospel is a reminder of what God has done on our behalf. As we receive that sacrament, it is His body and blood under bread and wine, which we have as a remembrance of what Christ did on our behalf. This is my body. This is my blood, Jesus said. Doesn't say it means representation or a symbol. It says, this is my body, my blood, under the bread and wine. It's what it is. It's not what it appears to be. Back in 2009, a Scottish woman, slightly overweight, walked from behind a curtain. Her hair was going in many different directions. Her dress didn't give her the look of flattery very well. Those in the audience rolled their eyes. And they let out a collective sigh of disappointment. And then she began to sing. And when she finished her song, the crowd exploded. The video became an overnight sensation. Her first recording broke all kinds of sales records. Yes, we know that individual as Susan Boyles. She was not what people expected. She turned out to be much more. When you come to the Lord's table, what appears to be quite ordinary is completely extraordinary. Just as there is so much more in that painting of the Last Supper, here in that sacrament, we have our closest connection to heaven that we will have until we sit at that heavenly banquet where there will be no more broken hearts, no more broken lies. We will join with the angels, the archangels, and the whole heavenly hosts around that table. And there will be no need to come to the sacrament, for we will see him face to face as he really is. Lots of words are spoken about the sacrament. One of my favorite is Eucharist, which simply means the great thanksgiving. The best words are those two little words, the great thanksgiving for you. Yes, Judas, in his betrayal, points us to the greatest gift, Christ, the Lamb of God, given and shed for you and me. And every time we come to the table, we need to consider what Christ did for you. Easter, in a couple of days, we will be able to sing that beautiful hymn, "At the Lamb's High Feast, we sing." And as this evening we lay the altar bare, we focus on the tremendous gift, sacrifice, made on our behalf. For you, for me, for all of humanity. Amen. We rise as we join in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I acknowledge Christian and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us now pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the hope of the world. Be present with all those who suffer the attacks of Satan. Defend and protect them so that they would not despair, but always find their hope in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the bread of life. Encourage all of us who receive your body and blood for our forgiveness today, that we might receive this gift faithfully. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the good shepherd and the door for the sheep. Continue to seek your lost sheep and strengthen us to join you in bringing back those who have wandered from you, so that they might again know the joys of your salvation and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way, the truth, the life. Forgive us when we seek to define our lives in any way other than in you. Lead us on the way to the cross in your everlasting truth to life eternal. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the vine and we are the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Increase your dependence upon you so that we might bear much fruit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the healer of every ill. And you bring healing in the meal we are about to eat. Grant healing and patience to all who are sick, injured, recovering. We lift up before you Mary Hennick and Dick Bites, who is hospitalized with heart condition. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the resurrection and the life. Give comfort and hope to all those who mourn the death of loved ones. And especially this day, we remember Bernice Schuller, a longtime cook here at Trinity Lutheran Church and school many years ago. Comfort her now in the presence of the Lord and with her family here on earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.